This message is a ministry of North River Church. Visit us online at gonorthriver.org.
If you can't preach after that, something's wrong. Thank you to the worship team for leading us into the presence of the Lord, and such a blessing to be able to unpack God's Word this morning. And so I want to encourage you, grab your Bibles and join me in the book of Romans, chapter 13. Romans, chapter 13. You know, they say that there are two things around the dinner table at Thanksgiving that you don't talk about: faith and politics. So I figured on the Sunday before election day, I would talk about faith and politics. That sound good? You with me? Some of you just got really nervous for me, didn't you? Here's the thing that I want you to know this morning, that God's Word has something to say about every aspect of our lives. And this issue, voting, electing people to represent us, is one of those issues that God has something to say about. Now, if you were coming this morning hoping that I was going to endorse a particular candidate, that's not going to happen. If you were thinking that I was going to come and tell you who to vote for, that's not going to happen. I will say this, though. I think, regardless of who is in the White House come January of next year, God is still going to be on His throne. Regardless of who is elected, God's plan and God's purposes will continue to unfold in this world, ultimately leading to Jesus Christ returning. That, remember, church, is our hope. And yet we still are entrusted with a responsibility, entrusted with this opportunity to take part in the elective process. And so this morning, I want us to look at Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse 1, and we're going to cover through verse 7 and hopefully give us a little bit of clarity as we move forward in the next week and months and years ahead as believers in this culture in which we find ourselves. I want to read all seven verses this morning, and I want you to listen, and we're going to go back and we're going to unpack those this morning. But this is what Paul writes. He says, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger, who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. Father, I ask you this morning that in such a politically charged environment that we find ourselves in, that you bring clarity this morning. Not based on our opinions, but Father, based on your word. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. I've always been fascinated with politics. I told you the story, if you didn't hear the story. When I was in fifth grade, my mom and dad encouraged me to run for school president of my elementary school. On this platform, more recess. pretty good when you're in elementary school. More recess, longer lunch time. That was my platform. And I ran against a girl who, if you thought this political season was dicey, you should have known the girl I was running against. I came to school one morning, and I'm walking in the door, and she has her political operatives standing at the elementary school door with dum-dums, with a little sign affixed to it that says, "Don't be a dum-dum, vote for her." And I thought, that means if you voted for me, you were a... Y'all are a little slow out there this morning, right? But if you voted for me, you were a dum-dum. And I thought, gosh, that's dirty. As a fifth grader, I realized very quickly that politics gets very dirty. I lost. Still a little bitter. I'm working through it, though. But here's the thing. Here's the question that lies before us this morning. What is the government's responsibility? And then what is our responsibility as followers of Jesus Christ? How do we respond in that? Now, let me say this to you very clearly. The government that's talked about here in Romans chapter 13 was not like our government. Let me just make that a blanket statement for you to understand. If just civics lesson 101. We live in not a democracy. Some of you thought that. We live in a democratic republic, which means that we elect people to represent us and make decisions. At this point in time, when Paul is writing the book of Romans to this church in this capital city, believers had very little opportunity to be involved in the political process. Caesar was appointed, and as you know your history, as you know the scriptures, Christians were being persecuted constantly in the early church. If anyone could have written and said, "Let's throw off the government because they're being oppressive," it would have been Paul. And yet Paul doesn't write that. In fact, Paul writes something completely different than that, and I want us to examine that this morning, and one, to be grateful for the opportunity that we have to vote in this elective process, but two, to consider the way in which we talk about it. Paul says, beginning in verse 1, "Let every person be subject to," or "let them submit to," "the governing authorities." Now listen to his reasoning why. "For there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God." If you're taking notes this morning, this is the first thing that I want you to write down. It's the first truth we're presented with in the text this morning. Every authority in our life was placed there by God. Every single authority in our life was placed there by God. Just give you a little bit of comfort this morning. God's not going to be surprised what happens Election Tuesday. In fact, God already knows ahead of time what's going to happen. In fact, we hear here in Romans chapter 13 that every single authority is in place because God allows them to be put in place. God is not in heaven wringing his hands right now, not sure what's going to happen. God knows what's going to happen. And in fact, God puts those people who are over us in authority. Now just pause for a minute and let that sink in. Every authority in our life has been placed there by God. Teenagers, kids, that means your parents have been placed in your life in authority over you by God. See, I pray a lot. I'm hoping maybe he'll move them along, right? That means that when we head out today and we drive down the road and we speed, hopefully without a North River sticker on the back of your car. And a sheriff's officer pulls us over and writes us a ticket. He has been placed, or she has been placed, there by God. Whoever becomes president of the United States after the election has been placed there by God. Now pause for a second and just remember, as Paul is writing this to these early believers in Rome, many of whom would give their lives for the gospel, many of them who would be persecuted as a result of following Jesus. Paul says to these believers, Caesar, who is persecuting you, has been put in authority by God. Now, you got to know that those believers at this point in time would have backed off of this and said, that just doesn't feel good. In fact, I really don't like that a whole lot, and yet Paul doesn't excuse it. Paul says there's no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Verse 2, therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. And those who resist will incur judgment. Now, for us as believers, sometimes this isn't easy to swallow, is it? We think, gosh, this doesn't feel very comfortable. And I can hear some of you right now, this is what's running through the ticker tape in your mind. You're saying, but what if they're not good leaders? What if they're bad? In fact, let's press a little bit further than that. What if they're actually evil leaders? How do we respond to them? Paul's going to give us a glimpse in a little bit, but our default position as believers, Paul says, is to subject ourselves, to be submissive to those who are in authority. Which means that when you get pulled over for speeding, you should thank God that you got pulled over. Because He is the one who has put that person in authority over you. Teenagers, when your parents say, no, you can't do this, you should thank God. Because it is God who has put them in a position of authority over you. Some of you here this morning are in positions of authority over people. It may be in your job. It may be in a number of different scenarios. But your position of authority has been given to you not because you're a great employee. It's not been given to you because you're really good at what you do. It's been given to you by God. God has an expectation of you as one who is in authority. We've got to realize this morning that those in authority over us have been put there by God. So what are they to do? What's their responsibility? What is their job? He tells us in verse 3, for rulers, or those who are in authority over us, are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. So not only has God put people in authority over us, but God's placed people in authority over us. Here's the second truth in the text this morning. For our good. Now you back up from there and go, whoa, 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 whoa. Michael, you're telling me this morning that those who are in authority over me, teenagers, it's your parents or your teacher at school, maybe the government leaders, it may be your boss that you work with that you can't stand. God has put them in authority over you for your good. Which gives us the job description for those who are in political authority. Their job, when you boil it all down, is to reward those who are doing good and to punish those who are doing bad. That's the ultimate job responsibility that the Scripture outlines for those who are serving in positions of authority. Parents, you know this very well. Your job as a parent is to reward your kids when they do good and to punish them when they do bad. Your job as a boss in your company, in your business, is to reward those who are doing good and to punish those who are doing bad. It extends up to the government as well. It's the government's responsibility, as instituted by God and placed there by God, to reward those who are doing good and to punish those who are doing evil. Most of the time, the government functions in that capacity. Sometimes it doesn't. And in fact, the roles are switched, they're reversed, where the government, instead of rewarding the good, they punish the good and they reward the evil. Now, here's the question for us as believers. How do we respond in that environment? If we know that Paul says here that we're to be subject to the governing authorities, no authority has been put in place except by God, what do we do when the authority that's put in place, instead of rewarding the good and punishing the evil, what happens when they do the exact opposite? Let's throw a name out there all of us would know. What happens when Hitler is in power? How do you respond to that? Let's take it biblical for just a minute. Acts chapter 5. The apostles are preaching the gospel in the city of Jerusalem. And they're brought in before the authorities. And the authorities say to them, "No longer are you allowed to preach the gospel." Now, if you look, you would say, maybe they should submit to that, right? They're in position of authority. And yet we see the disciples, the apostles, respond differently. In fact, what they said is, "We're going to obey God rather than men." So just put the framework in front of you this morning. When the government, when those in positions of authority ask you to do something that is illegal, immoral, unethical, unbiblical, we have a higher authority than them. Because our ultimate authority is God. And in the instance where we're being asked to do something that's contrary to what God has said to do, we have a responsibility to submit ourselves to God rather than to man. Now, let me put the cookies on the bottom shelf for you this morning. 99% of the time, that is not the conversation that we're having. Now, when the day comes, if it does come, and it very well may come, when we as believers are told we can no longer gather, we as believers are told we can no longer preach the gospel, we as believers, when that time comes, we have a responsibility, we have an obligation as believers to say, "I'm sorry, but I must obey God rather than man." But church, until that day comes, we have a responsibility to be involved in the political process, to vote as we have the opportunity to, but ultimately to submit ourselves to those who are in authority over us. Now, here's the thing that gets really tricky. It's when our opinions about what the government is doing begin to cloud what the government is really doing, or those who are in positions of authority over us. Sometimes we believe that things are worse off than they really are. Let me say this to you. There are millions of people that would love the chance to live in this country in which we live. We are an incredibly blessed people to live where we live. We're an incredibly blessed people. Even as we're leading up to Veterans Day on Friday coming up, we are an incredibly blessed people that those coming before us have laid their lives down so that we can enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy as believers. We're able to worship together. We're able to gather. We're able to share the gospel. We're able to stand on the truth of God's word without fear of persecution. So here's the thing I want to caution you about. Be careful the way in which you talk about where we sit now as a nation. Are there problems? Of course there are problems. Are there concerns? Of course there are concerns. But I can promise you this, the believers in China at this point in time would love to be sitting where you're sitting right now. And if we're not careful, we'll think that we got dealt the raw end of the deal when in fact, God has been incredibly gracious to us as Americans and as believers in this country to be able to gather and to do what we're able to do. The government's role, those in authority's role over us, is to reward the good and to punish the evil. And then how do we respond to them? He continues on in verse 5, and he says this, "Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes." Anybody just want to cross that out? "For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed." Not only has God placed every authority in our life for our good, but we have a responsibility as believers to submit ourselves to and to honor those that God has put in authority over us. I want to press pretty hard here for just a minute. We have a responsibility as believers to submit to those who are in authority over us, insofar as they don't ask us to do something that's contrary to God's word. We have a responsibility to submit to them. We have a responsibility to honor them. We have a responsibility to pray for them. We have a responsibility to pay taxes, even as much as it may hurt. We have a responsibility to do all of those things for those who are in authority over us. And I want to press here. I want to say this to you. Many of us talk about our political leaders and those in authority over us, and it's not honoring whatsoever. You say, "Michael, I don't like them, though." It doesn't matter. Paul doesn't say here, listen, if you like the governing authority that's over you, which don't forget, it was most likely Nero who was burning Christians at the stake. This is the same Roman government that crucified Jesus. This is the same Roman government that persecuted believers. If anyone had a responsibility or had an opportunity to sit back and say, listen, throw off the Roman government, don't honor them, don't respect them, don't pray for them, Paul and the early believers could have done that. But that's not what he says. He says, in fact, we're to honor those whom God has placed in authority over us. We're to respect them. We're to submit to them. The great privilege we have that they didn't have in the early church is we get to be involved in the process. We get to cast our vote. We get to elect the person who we think should take the position. They didn't have that opportunity. But listen to me, church, if we're not careful, we will talk about those who are in authority over us not in the way that the scriptures say that we should. In fact, let me just ask this question. Have you complained more about those who are in governmental positions than you've prayed for them? It gives you a glimpse of where your heart may be. Listen to me. Our greatest hope is not in who's in the White House. Our greatest hope is not who is elected as the next president. Our greatest hope is Christ and what He's already accomplished. We realize that we have a tremendous opportunity before us as believers to stand up and to vote our conscience, to vote biblical ideals, to vote biblical standards. We get to participate in that. But ultimately, that's not our hope. That's not what we're living for. That's not what we're going after. You realize that the only point in time when true righteous judgment, true righteous government is going to exist in this world is when Christ comes back and sets up His kingdom. Until then, we as believers have to operate within the system in which we find ourselves. And Paul says to these early believers here, every authority has been placed there by God. And they've been placed there by God for your good. Therefore, you should honor them. You should pray for them. You should submit to them. You say, Michael, what if I don't agree with them? It's fine. You probably don't agree with me sometimes. But nobody's been a jerk to me so far, right? We can still stand for what we believe, but we can do it in a God-honoring way. We can do it in a way that lifts high the name of Christ. We can do it in such a way that it's evident to those who we interact with that our ultimate hope is in Christ and what He's doing. So I want to say this to you. I want to encourage you this morning that you make it a point to spend time in prayer over what's going to happen on Tuesday. To spend time in prayer lifting up whoever takes office, from the president on down to the county commissioners. That you spend time praying for them, that you pray for their salvation if they don't know Jesus. That you pray that they would surround themselves with believers who are speaking truth from God's word into their lives. That you ultimately lift up to the Lord that you know that not only has He placed them there, but the Bible tells us that He holds the heart of every single king in His hands and He can turn it any way He wants. See, I'm confident this morning, regardless of what happens on Tuesday, God's plan and God's purposes will continue to unfold in this world. You say, Michael, it may get more difficult to be a believer. It may. It was difficult in the first century to be a believer. And yet they turned the world upside down for the gospel. I want to encourage you, church, vote. Vote biblical truth and yet stand on the biblical truth that regardless of who's in office, God is still on His throne. He's still working. He's still moving in the hearts and lives of people in this community and around the world. There's no greater time for us as a church to impact the community in which we find ourselves by offering them the only hope that can bring about any true change in their lives. And that's the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us not be political people. Let us be gospel people. Father, we come to You this morning and we thank You for Your word. Father, we thank You for a reminder that regardless of what happens Tuesday, You're still on the throne. Father, regardless of who is in office, Christ is still King. And we as believers who have trusted in Him for our salvation will rule and reign with Him when He comes. Father, where we need to ask forgiveness for the way in which we talk about political candidates or those in authority over us in our job or the way we talk about our parents, Father, would you grant forgiveness there? Would you help us to see the reality that every single person that's in authority over us has been placed there by you for our good, for your glory? May we honor them. May we pray for them. Father, when we're tempted to complain more than we're tempted to pray, would you convict our hearts? Father, when we're tempted to put our hope and trust in a particular candidate, would you redirect it to Christ, who is the only true King? Father, we ask this in His name. Amen.